Jeremiah chapter 32 for our text reading this morning. And it is, as I mentioned, so good to see Brother and Sister Gibson here this morning. I'm going to do my best to not be long-winded like him. I remind you that the first time that he filled in for me, he preached 45 minutes. Come back on the website and look. He had been out of the pulpit long enough that he had something to say. Now, I don't want to wear them out. I'll do my best to preach as fast as I can, but I still want to get the message across as well. Jeremiah chapter 32, two different verses in this chapter that I want to look at because they have a question or a statement that is connected between the two. If you would bow your head with me for a moment in prayer. Father, thank you for this service. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for the reminder that you care even so much about us and showing us through the care that you give to the lily. I pray, Lord, now that you would give that anointing that is needed as we open up your word. Pray, Lord, that you would help me to say what needs to be said, help your voice to actually to be heard, hide the human as much as possible, and in my weakness that your strength would be made real. I pray for your blessing in the preaching of your word. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 17 and 27. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Verse 27, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I believe that verse 17 is Jeremiah speaking. Verse 27 is God speaking. Jeremiah is saying that in the midst of the circumstances of his life, he was coming to the conclusion that there was nothing too hard for him, for God. And then God comes along here in the same chapter, 10 verses later, and he says, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? I think it's safe to say this morning, as I'm looking at across the congregation of humanity, people, that everyone eventually will encounter something that seems to be impossible. Somewhere in the circumstances of our lives, we come across something that seems to be impossible. Perhaps it's a doctor's report. Maybe it's a wayward child or a broken marriage or a financial crisis. Maybe perhaps it's a church burden that seems too great. For some, it might even be a battle with sin that appears unwinnable. I had a conversation, a very short conversation this week with somebody who is battling sin, and it's impossible to him. He feels like that there's no way around, that God is not going to help him break the chains of sin. The human question is, what am I going to do when faced with these confrontations or faced with these heavy loads or burdens, these things that seem to be impossible? The human question is, what am I going to do? But God is asking a different question. The question that God is asking is there anything too hard for me? Jeremiah Jeremiah was in this conversation here, not asking from a mountaintop of victory, but he was actually sitting in prison while Jerusalem was under siege. The city was about to fall to Babylon. God even instructed him to buy a piece of land that would soon be occupied by the enemy. It just didn't seem rational. Everything was irrational. Yet God was in the midst of it all teaching Jeremiah, and I believe that he's trying to teach us that the circumstances of life never limit God's power. The circumstances, they appear impossible, but the circumstances of life never limit God's power. There is nothing too hard for God. Maybe God overstepped his bounds. Maybe God overstepped his rule in stating something like that, where he says, "Is there anything too hard for me?" But let's take a moment just to look at the idea and the reality that there is nothing too hard for God's power. We say that big word in theological terms that God is omnipotent. God is omniscient. God is all of these things. He's the extreme. He is the highest level. And when we think about his power, there is no one, there is nothing that is greater in power than what God is. Jeremiah, under the circumstances of his life, which seemed to be impossible, begins in that verse number 17 by looking back. He is going back all the way to the beginning of time, and he said, "You have made the heavens and the earth." I think something that we need to keep in mind for us, at least be reminded of it from time to time, is that the greatest demonstration of God's power isn't merely what he can do for me today. I think we can get lost in him, wanting him to do things for me now, but sometimes I just need to be reminded of what he has already done. And Jeremiah reminds himself, he goes all the way back to the beginning, and he says that he spoke the worlds into existence, that he hung the stars without support, and he measured the oceans in the hollow of his hand. And he formed man from the dust. You can see that in that verse, can't you? There he is, the Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. If God can create the universe from nothing, then what problem have we brought him that exceeds his ability? That's a profound statement, really. What problem have I brought to him that exceeds his ability? Or what problem have I brought to him that even is too complex for him? Our impossibilities are small when we put them beside his omnipotence. I have on a sticky note in my Bible right here in this passage, in this chapter, a quote from Jeremy Taylor, who was an English cleric and author from the 1600s. The 1600s, that was a long time ago. He wrote a book, The Rule and Exercises of Holy Living, and he has a statement in there that really reflects right here in this passage. It is impossible for that man to despair who remembers that his helper is omnipotent. It is impossible for that man to despair who remembers that his helper is omnipotent. Our impossibilities stacked up beside his omnipotence reveals how insignificant our impossibilities are. We can't despair when we realize and remember recognizing who our helper is, the great God of the universe, the omnipotent one. Jesus even says it, and Matthew records it in the Sunday school lesson this morning, Matthew 19:26, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Jesus is recognizing that there's some things that happen in my life and happen in your life that when we look at them, when we see them, when they press in upon us, that it makes us feel like it's an impossibility. But Jesus is reminding us that in the midst of our impossibilities, that there is nothing impossible with God. It's a cliche, but let's carry it. Let's think about it. God works in our impossibilities. He is profound in our impossibilities. He is able to be magnificent in our impossibilities. God never faces a problem that causes him anxiety. So we see that there's nothing too hard for God's power. And then we can take a look at the promises of God. What about his promises? You know, there's some pretty big promises in the Bible. We claim promises from God's word. Some people, when they claim God's promises and they don't seem to pan out the way they think that they should pan out, they tend to throw things away. But let's be aware that God's promises do not fall short of what is needed or fall short of God's power, but his promises supersede. His promises are abundantly above and beyond, even when circumstances would contradict it. Did you hear that this morning? Even when circumstances contradict it. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, I'm even looking at Jeremiah. You look at Jeremiah here, and Jeremiah had to trust God's promises because even his circumstances would say that God's promises weren't going to make it. His circumstances contradicted God's promises. You say, well, what was the promise? God was promising Israel that they would return to their land. Everything about their circumstances that were visible suggested otherwise. Faith in God's promises is faith is when a person believes God's promises even when circumstances appear to deny those promises. Even when the circumstances appear to deny God's promises. You think of Abraham. Try to put yourself in Abraham's shoes. I know it's difficult for us to figure all that out because Abraham's so long time ago, but God promised Abraham a son. You remember that story and how long did it take for that son to become real? How many years had transpired? How many doubts had come and gone? And then one day the angels show up and he reissues the promise that Abraham was going to have a son. Years had passed, and in the process of those years passing, Abraham's body grew old, and Sarah's womb remained barren. And then somewhere along the line, the angel shows up and reissues the promise. And all of these thoughts and doubts are potentially bombarding the mind and hearts of Abraham and Sarah. Remember what the one angel said, what maybe it was the Lord that said in Genesis chapter 18, 14, is there anything too hard for the Lord? beyond. The circumstances denied the promise of God to Abraham. Everything about it said this can't be. But then 9 months later, a baby was crying in Sarah's tent. Beyond real. Just because God delays does not mean God is denying. Just because God delays something does not mean that God is denying it. I'm reminded of that song. I think about that song here a number of times since the Legacy Quartet was here. And they sang that song that Jesus was 4 days late. Remember that? I don't even know all the words to it, but that stands out and it's come to me over and over again. 4 days late, and yet he was right on time. 4 days late according to man's calendar, but he was right on time. You see, his promises run on his timetable, not on our timetable. There's nothing too hard for God's power. There's nothing too hard for God's promises. Perhaps the hardest cases are not physical, though. Perhaps the hardest cases are spiritual. And if that be the case, if that be the reality, that the hardest cases are spiritual, is there anything that is too hard for God's grace? Some people just seem to be unreachable. The prodigal. I'm not talking about the prodigal that's recorded in the Gospels. I'm talking about the prodigal that may be your prodigal. Or some prodigal that you know. Unreachable, untouchable, and impossible. The addict, the atheist, the bitter heart, the religious hypocrite. We could name a number of different descriptions of people that would seem to be, or circumstances that would seem to be impossible, but salvation itself is a miracle. When we stop and realize that it's salvation itself is a miracle. If God can transform Saul of Tarsus and transform him into Paul, the apostle, what a transformation that was. What a change that was. And it took place pretty much in a moment of time. There was a transformation from Saul of Tarsus to Paul the apostle. What about the thief on the cross? The dying moments of his life, the last few moments of his life, and Jesus changes his destiny because he cries out to him for help in that hour of need. I think we're talking about grace. Is there anything too great and anything too hard for God's grace? What about the demon-possessed man of Gadara? Everybody had given up hope on him. Do you know somebody like that? I know some people like that. That if I mention a name that nobody would think that's possible, that person's gone too far, that person's gone done too much, wow. Maybe you know somebody else. The demon-possessed man of Gadara, what about that? God, through Christ, transformed that man into a man who was sane, clothed, and in his right mind, changed completely. You see, there is no sinner beyond his reach. No one is too hard for God. No one. I mentioned that I had a short conversation with somebody this week. I was mowing on the mower out here just mowing, and this man's name came to my mind. I prayed for him and I kept on mowing. I didn't stop anything. I just prayed as I was mowing and tried to push it out. And I felt like I needed to text him, and I didn't do it. I continued to mow. But it continued to press on my mind that I needed to remind him that God was still calling. God was still reaching. He did not go too far. He did not do too much. And even though it would appear that God is not answering his prayer, that if he makes a step in God's direction, then God is already running in his direction. No one is too hard for God. We should never stop praying for our loved ones because heaven specializes in the impossibles. Nothing too hard for God's power, nothing too hard for God's promises, nothing too hard for his grace. Romans 8:28 reminds us that God works through all things, working together for good. There's nothing too hard for God's providence. All things work together for good. Now, we have to be reminded again that it does not say that all things are good. Joseph wrote different chapters of his life, and perhaps the longest of the early chapters of his life was of not good things. Early on in his life, for an extended period of years, we really don't know how long, but he was a young, impressionable young fella. He really had a difficult time at home. His dad loved him, we know that. Everybody knew that his dad loved him, but we also have an understanding that his brothers hated him. I can't help but believe that not only is it stating there that they hated him, they disliked him, but I have a feeling down in my heart that dislike or that hatred showed itself from, they vented on him. Maybe it's my imagination, maybe I'm wrong, maybe you can correct me, but I think that if it's as bad as what the scripture says, and I believe that the scripture has given us a clear picture, that they vented on him, that they showed him. And so the chapter of his upbringing and those teenage years was not a good chapter. He was treated poorly at best by his brothers for several years of his life. And then they betrayed him. Little boy, look at the life. Look at the chapters of his life. He was sold into slavery. You know, that's a terrible thing, terrible circumstance. And yet God was with him. And then he was falsely accused. He had risen to a rank and a position of respect and then falsely accused and suddenly slammed back down. Only this time is he not just simply sold into slavery, but he's forgotten in prison. See, every painful chapter of Joseph's life was moving him in God's direction for God's purpose. Every painful chapter of the life of Joseph. And be reminded that in those chapters of slavery and false accusation and in bondage in prison, there was even the separation away from his father's love that was the only apparent bright spot in his life. Everything was dark, but every painful chapter was moving him towards God's purpose. You see, it's only a God who works in impossibles that can weave betrayal and suffering and disappointment and even delay into what became a beautiful testimony of the life of Joseph. When we cannot trace his hand, we can trust his heart. Somehow, in the midst of all of those dark years and dark chapters and impossibilities, Joseph's comments to his brothers later on was that you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. You see, there's nothing too hard for God's power, nothing too hard for his promises. or his grace or his providence. But there is a thing or two that God will not do. There are some things that God just won't do. While there's nothing too hard for God, Scripture does share with us. It reveals to us some things that he chooses not to do because they contradict his holy nature. God will not lie. You can count on it. Titus 1:2, I believe, reveals that to us. God will not deny himself. God will not force someone to love him. God will not break his promises. God will not overlook unrepented sin. His omnipotence never violates his holiness. The greatest miracle is not that God can do everything that is consistent with his nature, but that through Christ he found a way to be both the just and justifier of those who believe. You can find that in Romans 3:26. So let me ask you this question in closing. What is your too hard? What is your too hard? Is it a family member? A financial burden? A ministry challenge? A physical illness? A spiritual struggle? A burden you've carried for years? An approval of building plans? What is your too hard? I believe what the message is trying to say today is that you and I can bring it honestly before God. Faith is not pretending the problem is small. Faith is believing that God is greater. The disciples looked at 5 loaves and 2 fish. Oh, that's impossible, Lord. You can't expect us to do that. There's just simply too little here. It's impossible. 5 loaves and 2 fish, where Jesus then was looking at 5,000 hungry people and he thanked his Father. You see, faith shifts our eyes from our resources to God's sufficiency. At Calvary, it would appear that evil had won. The Son of God was crucified. Hope was buried in a borrowed tomb. Hell celebrated at Calvary. But on the third day, God accomplished what no human power could do. Death was conquered. Sin was defeated. The grave was emptied. And if God can raise his Son, if God can raise his Son from the dead, then there is no circumstance beyond his power today. Do you believe that? If God can raise his Son from the dead, then there is no circumstance beyond his power today. Let's listen to the question again. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? The only right answer here is no, Lord, nothing is too hard for you. Perhaps you've carried an impossible burden for so long that you've stopped believing that God can intervene. I encourage you today to lay it at his feet anyway. Stop measuring your problem against your strength and begin measuring it against God's power. Join with Jeremiah in confidence who declared, he declared, there is nothing too hard for thee. Trust him with your impossible. Because Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Trust him with your impossible. Would you stand with me this morning? There is nothing too hard
for God. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Tedrow, would you dismiss us with prayer?